for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Passover Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, April the 14th, 2006. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of this service, teaching on Repentance is a Lifestyle.
Well, Cheryl, come take my place here.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, God is worthy of all that praise, is He not? Amen. Amen. It is an honor and a privilege to stand before you this afternoon to tell you about the glory and the miracle working power of God. It is an honor and a pleasure to be able to tell you what God has placed on my heart. I am excited to share with you. I am excited to see you. I am excited and glad to be here because, you know, when I laid down last night, there was no promise on the wall that I would be here. So how glad I am that I'm here, that I hear, that I see, and that I know that God has us here just for such a time as this. Amen? Amen. Well, we just blessed this microphone. God, I pray that you will anoint me, that I will stand in front of the microphone or either have the presence of mind to take it off the stand and move when I move, because, God, you made me a moving person. I just don't stand in one place, and I thank you for it. I give you praise. God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the praise and worship team. And I thank you, Father God, that we will pray for the praise and worship team and pray for them to continue to grow and continue to reach out in the Holy Ghost to get the new songs of the Lord. For God, you are a God that changes. But yet you change us not, and you're the only one that can do that and remain the same. Father, we thank you for the new songs. We thank you for the old songs. And we thank you, God, that as we grow to accept who you are, that we'll learn to blend those things together. And that all in the house will pray, because as we pray, everybody grows. Because there is power in the prayer. We thank you for this afternoon. I decrease now, God, that you may increase in me. And I thank you, God, for the word that you have given me. I thank you, God, for the energy and the strength to carry this word, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that every fear in me is bound, and I set my face and my eyes like flint. And I shall move forth, God, and be obedient, compelled by your compassion for people that resides in me. That I'll speak the word, and only the word that you have given me, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tuesday, March 21st, at 7:45 p.m., the word of the Lord came, and it said, "What do you see? Look beyond the dress, the makeup, and the hair, even the pretty white teeth, and tell me what you see. Look beyond the well-cut grass, the neat parking lot, smiling faces on Sunday, clean washrooms, and tell me what you see. Tell me, do you see the broken hearts, the broken promises, marriages, and other relationships? Do you see my people as I see them? Do you see them through my eyes, or are you judging them by what you see? Tell me, my children, have you lost your edge? Can you no longer feel as I feel the pain of my people? Have you become hardened and calloused by the things that I have given you? Are you insensitive because of your pride? Are you one of the Marthas? Are you too grown to sit at my feet and hear what I want and what I need to tell you? Are you that sure of yourself and your salvation? Do I need to remind you of the days gone by where I brought you from? Is it time for a refresher course in who I am? Do you like the children of Israel need to be reminded of the Red Sea, the Egyptians that I have slain for you, the miracle in the Jordan where I cleansed your worldly leprosy? Do I need to remind you of those things dead when I spoke to your Lazarus? Who are you that I should remind you constantly who I am? I am the great I am. I am he who heals you. I am the one who loves you, and I can no more stop loving you than I can stop being who I am. I desire your worship and praise. I am jealous for you. Stop and come away with me. Lose yourself in the aroma of my spirit. Don't make the journey so hard. If you would come to me more often, I would give you peace and understanding for your jobs, the timing and the seasons for your relationships, the cornerstone of your life I would be. Fear not that which is different, for I am bringing with me a new season, a new day. All things have passed away. Look and see me, for I am all around you wanting your smile, your worship, and even your time, the time that I have given you. Amen? So what prevents us from understanding that God is I am? What prevents us from seeing as he sees? What prevents us from having the compassion that he wants us to have on each other and for each other? What makes us believe that deliverance is anything but a lifestyle and a manifestation of the Spirit of the living God, and that we just so happen to be blessed that he wants to work through us? How dare we think that it is anything other than by the grace of God and his love for us? Do we need to constantly go back to the cross and remember what was done for us? Does he have to constantly remind us of that? But can't we just jump in and keep stroking in the river of life, forever keeping before us that he did for us, that he's willing to do for us? That we may be able to swim in the river of life and go toward the higher things of God, from glory to glory, into his presence. What makes us stop along the way and forget that deliverance is a lifestyle and not an event 3 or 4 times a year? This should be a resting place for a few days where we get filled up so we can jump back in. Because I get this feeling on the inside of me that if we will but just keep going, that as we go, God will heal us. We don't want to stop and build a condominium out of the hurt and the pain. You don't want to stop there. That's only to squeeze out of you a little oil for your wings as eagles, so that you can look for the eye of the storm to keep going and to move into what he's caused you to move into, so that you can see what he sees. There is a deeper level and a deeper depth in God that he's calling us to. And what is the deliverance ministry only except what? To peel us like onions so that we can see what he sees, so we can have his compassion, so that we can do what he wants us to do, so we can be his eyes, we can be his hands, we can be his feet, we can go and do what he tells us to go and do without fear. That is what deliverance is for. It is not to get delivered and sit still and say, glory to God, I'm free. It's to get delivered and say, glory to God, I'm free. Which way did the devil go? Where is he at? Let me stop him before he gets to somebody else. Let him tell me. Let me tell somebody what he did for me. This is not the time of the season when Jesus is on his way back so soon for us to become complacent. This is not the time nor the season. This is the time for us to wake up. Wake up, sit up, straighten up your back, and know that God is I am. He was always I am. He has not stopped being I am. And you are part of the branch and you are tied into Him. And as you are tied into Him, He's going to bless you with the Zoe energy of God so that you can go and flow with Him. Each time we hurt, each time we feel a little rejection, each time there's a little deep hurt, can we not think to ourselves, oh, yes, it hurts. But how much more must it have hurt, my God, my Father, my brother? How much more pain must He have suffered? Yet He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. So who are we to spend so much time groveling and groveling over the things that happen to us? Yes, they catch us off guard sometimes. Yes, we feel like a battering ram that somebody just keeps slapping us back and forth. But it's okay. Because we have the answer. It is in the Word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Every time you get knocked down, say, God, I can't say nothing else. I'm hurting, but I got one thing I want to say to you. Thank you. Thank you. Because if I am to be punished, because I've done something or left a gate open, then I have to think, it's in the Word that only His children are punished. Only of His children get a whipping every now and then when we keep leaving the gate open. If I were not your child, then this would not be happening. So thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We have to stop whining, folks. We have to stop whining. For God is a God. He is a giver. He adds things to our life as He strips us bare of everything that is not like Him. Then we can contain more of what is like Him. As we go into Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, I didn't want to read this to you. I already told Glenn, I said, I'm not ready for Jeremiah 3. There's too many woes. I'm a happy preacher. I want to bring the happy news. I ain't ready for this. Oh, but God set my heart like flint. Because Gail said that if I don't have the compassion to tell you when He says that there are idols in your life and you need to get rid of them, then I'm not operating in the compassion of Christ. So I got to tell y'all, some of y'all got some idols. And some of y'all need to repent. Now I say, if it's you, put your shoe on and wear it. Won't nobody care. I don't care if it's you. Don't make me no difference. Because you see, when I go up before Gabriel, you know, and he opened up the book, it's all about me at that point. I hope you get that revelation that it's all about you. So make sure that if you wear this shoe, you need to repent. Put the shoe on, repent, and get over it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God has told us that He has a new day and a new season. And this new day and this new season is based in obedience. It's based in our complete obedience to His Word. In the complete obedience to do what God calls us to do. For we are yet a tapestry within Him. And unless we each fall graciously into the place that God has called us, the tapestry is all over the place. Find your place in God and just lay down. Because you see, you're only a piece of bread to be eaten anyway. Have you ever noticed that all of the synonyms that God used, something's happening to you? You get squeezed so the oil will come out. You ever notice that? Everything that God calls us to do, something has to happen to us in order for that's good in us to come out so that people can see it. Each of us is a walking miracle. And if we live in that phrase every day and remember where God has brought us from and realize that it took a miracle to get through all of that that we had set up that we thought was protection to get to us so that we can be like Him, so that we can be in His image. That's what He's saying to us. That's what He wants us to be, in His image. And in order for that to happen,
so that people can see it on the outside. He's got to start on the inside, where all the ugly stuff lays hidden. All the ugly stuff that causes cancer. All the ugly stuff that causes ulcers. All the ugly stuff that causes stress and anxiety. All the things that cause us to operate in fear. He's got to start right there in all that ugly stuff so that people can see how beautiful you are and how wonderfully he has made you. In Jeremiah, it says in Jeremiah, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet returned again unto me, saith the Lord. And you have not repented for that. Are you aware of how many idols and how many things we put in place before God? Our jobs, our children, the car, the land, even the ministry. What is the ministry without God? Are you losing it or what? What is anything when you lose your time before God and it's time to pray and you busy being Martha? God is the I Am. And he wants to ask you a question. Who sits on the throne of your heart? Are you sure it's him? Or is fear sitting there eating popcorn, comfortable? What about jealousy and insecurity? Oh, the big one is arrested development. Do you know 100% of us got arrested development? Oh, I didn't say 95.3. I said 100% of us got arrested development. Some is crippling and others is mild. But we got arrested development. And do you know how many times arrested development crosses over and touches and works with all the other demons so that you have lots of pigs in your parlor? All right. So if you hit everything and nothing is moving, try hitting arrested development and see what happens. Right. Arrested development will make you continue to go to a person to let them lay hands on you when God has said stop. Arrested development will cause you to be able to mature in certain areas of your life, but in other areas, you're just like a child. You cannot manage your money. You can't manage your children because you're playing with them. They don't need friends. They need a parent. Arrested development is such a strong spirit, and we have not unlashed it and bound it up and cut it down as often as we are going to in the future, because it is a very strong spirit that has overtaken the body of Christ. What is arrested? Arrested development. Arrested to begin to bring to a stop, to slow, to make inactive, to seize, to capture, to take or keep in custody by authority of law. And development, growth that stagnated, put in custody, which has the authority to do so, but slows down or stops. And it works with all them reefers y'all was smoking. Oops. Okay. Remember them drugs y'all was taking? Remember all that alcohol you was drinking? All that was arrested development. Because we didn't want to grow up. We didn't want to face the responsibilities that were set before us. We could not. Arrested development. The Peter Pan spirit. The Cinderella spirit. The knight in the shining armor is going to come kiss me, and when I wake up, it's all going to be over with. It's arrested development. When you wake up, it will be the same. God wants us to grow up and to be mature. He speaks in Jeremiah and he says, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast been laid with. In the ways hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. The Amplified says, lift up your eyes to bear the bare heights and see where you have not been adulterously lain with. By the wayside you have set waiting for lovers, eager for idolatry, like an Arabian, like a desert tribesman who waits to plunder in the wilderness. You have polluted the land with your vile harlotry and your wickedness, or your unfaithfulness and disobedience to God. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no spring rain, meaning the Holy Ghost has lifted itself from you and you don't feel him anymore. You don't feel the Holy Ghost anymore because you've been acting like a harlot. And for those that are listening to the tape, we're talking about holes and prostitutes. The body of Christ has allowed itself to fall into it. So we need to repent. God is not satisfied when He has given His very best for us. He has given His very best. We need to shake it off. There is nothing that you have that is worth being called a harlot. And you know, when you find a harlot and she's sitting there and she's waiting on that peace to come, and she's waiting on that peace to come, and she got herself all set. She sets her face like flint, and ain't nothing you can tell her when she's standing out there on that corner. I don't care how cold it is. I don't care how short that skirt is. And she got them on a jacket that's shorter than the skirt, and they both too short. But she's standing there, and she sets her face like flint because she is unrepentant. Don't be unrepentant. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Admit it. Doubt and unbelief and rebellion and stubbornness is but the sin of witchcraft. It all runs together. Trying to get somebody to do something they would not normally do by seducing them. 4, amplified. Have you not just now cried to me, my father? You were the guide and companion of my youth. Will he retain his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have so spoken, but you have done all the evil things you could and have had your way and have carried them through. Moreover, the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, in the days of Josiah, the king of Judah, have you seen what that faithless and backsliding Israel has done? How she went up on every high hill and under every green tree and there played the harlot? And I said, after she has done all these things, she will return to me. But she did not return, and her faithless and treacherous sister Judah saw it. So what is he saying? That people are watching us. And as we look to pills and as we look to other things other than the hand of God to move on our lives in those areas that we need to be delivered, as we run into the pharmacy to get all sorts of pills for this and that, and then after it's all over with, that wasn't even what it was. You spent $50. $50 of your hard-earned money that God gave you to steward over just for them to tell you and for you to find out it ain't working. What part of this word don't you believe? Is there something there you don't believe? Let's start in Genesis and let's work our way over to Revelation. What part of it don't you believe? Because obviously that's the part you're living off of. That's the part that's getting your money down at the pharmacy. The Bible says we're supposed to come to the church and get the oil and let the elders lay hands on you. But if you don't believe in the oil and you don't believe that the elders can lay hands on you and that you can be healed of it, then just keep giving your money to the pharmacy. But I would rather believe after 10 years of not having any insurance and almost 60 years old that God can do it. But see, everybody ain't like me. I'm just crazy. I'm crazy for God. Because I know where he bought me from. I know they misdiagnosed me. I know they did. And I was taking lithium for almost 3 years. 300 milligrams 3 times a day. You tell me I wasn't crazy. I know what God did for me. You cannot take it away from me. That's my testimony. I don't know what yours is. But mine is that God can heal and God can deliver. And God can restore your mind. That he is, as the old folks say, a mind regulator and a heart fixer, made a way out of no way, made the blind to see and the lame to walk. They said it a little different, but it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the same God. What part of this word don't you believe? He is here today to deliver. He wants you set free. He wants your praise pure and undiluted. It says right up here, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's by his spirit that deliverance comes. It's by his spirit. And when we say that God is love and that our compassion is moved by love, then when compassion comes on us, I got this upstairs from Gail. When that compassion moves upon us, then that's God moving up on us. Oh, duh. So maybe I need to do what he's moving up on me to do. You know, sometimes we make this journey so hard. Sometimes God will tell you one time and you say, bless the Lord. Then he say it again. Bless the Lord. Third time. Okay. It is you. Let me get busy doing it. I have recognized, thank you. I have recognized that if I just don't want to do it. My flesh is talking. You know my flesh talk too. And my flesh is talking. I don't want to do whatever it is. I don't want to take the high road. Now, y'all know if you take the high road, that's always going to be the road God wants you to take. And usually taking the high road, that's usually ignoring something that somebody has said that could be offensive. I don't want to take the high road. I want to revel in this little bit of anger for a minute. So he had to get me three times. My third time around, I'm just like through. Fine. I'll do it. And when I finally do it, guess what? It feels good. It feels good. Yeah, it feels good. You know, you kick the devil in the teeth. He's already turned over. And he's already mad. And you've already moved the body of Christ ahead just a little inch or two on you. You know, just by being obedient and taking the high road. And it's all that simple. I could quote scriptures to you all day. But sometimes the walk is just being simple and telling you what it looked like to me. See, I sometimes don't know what he called me to really. Because I sit and I read the word and I was listening to Jerry. Ooh, I'm stealing notes. She got all the scriptures. I mean, she be coming up with the scriptures. She got all the scriptures. All my sisters got the scriptures. I'm reading the word. I don't know where they're found. Y'all pray for me. But I read the word and it gets in me. Then I, next thing I know, I'm speaking the word, but I can't tell you where I read it. I'm just speaking it and talking it. Because I'll be listening to the tapes and I'll be going, yeah, but I can't tell you where to go. So you're on your own with me. See, because I know that I'm among the teachers. And if what I'm saying ain't right, they gonna get it. They gonna tell me. They gonna let me know. So maybe that's just a part of that deliverance that I still need. I admit that to you. I read it and it just read like a book. It read like, ooh, this is good. And the minute I shut the book, like, if I didn't write it down where I read it, that's it. I'm in the concordance trying to find it. So I can tell y'all where I read it. I don't know. So I don't say that I'm a teacher. What I say is that I believe that I'm supposed to tell you this word, and I believe I'm supposed to break it down. So when you leave and you done got the scripture that Jerry and Gail and Carla and Diane, all of them gave you, then you can say, oh, that's what Cheryl was talking about. Because, see, I be living it. I mean, he throws me in. I'm sorry. I don't get no scripture before I go in. I'm just in. And he say, take the high road. I find out later that it was scripture. Because I want to be obedient and do what he tells me to do. And, you know, it's a funny thing. You can tell when it's the high road. I don't need to call Jerry up and say, girl, is this right? I can tell in my spirit that I've taken the high road because everybody has been blessed by that move that I made or that thing that I said. And I know that it was God. Now, I don't say that you have an excuse to read the word and not try to commit them to memory. I'm not saying that. Do not take that. Because Clement is here. And if I tell you that, I'm going to get it after service. Clement know the word. I trust him. And see, Frances know the word too. You may think Frances don't know. Frances know the word. And I respect and honor that. And I put myself in position to be around them. But I can only be who I am. And I pray daily, God, just help me just remember what you want me to say. Because I done already told you what I've been delivered of. See, and I wasn't even schizophrenic and they had me on all that stuff. Actually, I was early menopausal. Can you believe they made that mistake? They made that mistake. Put me on lithium. All I was early menopausal. I was just driving everyone nuts. They didn't know you, Doc. You would have fixed me up. I wouldn't have had to go through that. And God had to deliver me. So when I talk about it, I'm talking about what I've been through, not what I heard, not what somebody said. I'm giving you that I understand from personal experience. That this word, that this life of deliverance is one that God wants us to do and be every day. It is not separate or apart from the rest of the body of Christ. We come here to get stripped so the rest of the word can live in and through us. It is not all in all by itself. Just because this is a deliverance camp does not mean the prophetic word does not go forth. Just because this is a deliverance camp does not mean that there's not Bible study or intercessory prayer, things going on that the Bible relates to as a part of our spiritual warfare. Just because this is a deliverance camp does not mean that we don't have an understanding of what praise and worship can do as a weapon in your mouth. This place is to strip you clean so that all that I just said can operate through you with power and might. Because the more you are like him, the more it's going to operate through you till we get to a point that we like Paul and our very shadow will heal somebody. Does it not say that? Where is that? Ephesians 6 and 12, is that not where it is where it said all of this is for the perfecting of the saints? Oh, that's Ephesians 4 and 12. Told you. That's Ephesians 4 and 12. I told you. See, I was looking back there at Francis and Clement, and they were like, I said, ooh. Okay. Ephesians 4 and 12. Be obedient to the word. Get satisfied and comfortable in the skin that God has placed you. And even your mistakes will be funny. You won't care. You just keep going in God. Amen. I'm not here to compare myself to anyone. I love you, and I believe that what God wants you to do is to get rid of all of your idols so that you do not become like the children of Israel and Judah. That we do not become whores and prostitutes and harlots and our faith set like Flint, unable to repent. And not willing to repent because I got up here and refused to tell you that God's saying get rid of your idols. Go in your closet. Ask him, what is standing before me, between me and you in pure praise? What's standing between me and you in pure worship? What is it, God? Show me. And then when he shows you that you have the courage and the faith to put it down in its place, take it off the throne of your heart. Hallelujah. Gail said, love and compassion is a decision to obey God. So I have to come back to that obedience. And if you were not obedient to God, most times it's because there's a fear. Because many of us have set our minds to serve God and to be obedient to God. So if we find that it's not happening, is there a fear of man that's sitting on the throne of your heart that is preventing you from being obedient? Fear of what man is going to say about you? Fear what may happen if you decide that, well, this car is just costing me too much. And as a good steward, I'm going to sell this car. I'm going to get me a Chevy, one that I can afford. All my neighbors got PT Cruise. I got an 89 paid for a town car. Lincoln town car. Drive good to me. Little red tape on the tail light, but that's all right. It's all right. Bruce say he going to fix that. That's all right. Yeah. Maybe I can even talk Ronnie into washing it. I'm going to keep driving it because I'm going to be a good steward. I ain't getting into debt. Because you get into debt, you can't give when God wants you to give. So good stewardship is also a part of what allows us to go into our hearts and see what's sitting on the throne of our hearts. We have to trust God. The things that God gives to us when we come to the end of ourselves and there is nothing else are the most precious things that we can have. Because whatever those things are, you know that while you were waiting for the manifestation of that thing, that person, whatever, that God was working a work in you. And that when you get it, it's going to be just as easy to get rid of it the second time around as it was the first time. Because I'm a living witness that if you trust and believe God, He'll take you from the pit to the palace. It ain't easy. Along the way, you get scared and fearful. But Fred Hammond has a sign, and it says, it don't matter. I still can praise Him. I'm falling down. I'm still going to praise You. Because, see, there's power in the praise. Because every time I praise Him, I remember what He did for me the last time. I remember the Red Sea that He opened for me the last time. I remember what He did for me the time before. And when I began to hear reports from people in my group of friends and from the body of Christ that He's blessing people and He's bringing people out, I know that my time is almost done. So instead of getting jealous or concerned about everybody getting theirs and I ain't got mine, that's the very time when you need to set your face like flint and be like the thoroughbred that God has called you to be. Because no, just in a minute, the gate is finna open and it's going to be your turn. In just a minute, the gate going to open. Don't you get caught up looking to the left or to the right as the rest of the horses is going up, because you're going to miss your time. You ain't got but a split second to get in that momentum of God. So don't mess around looking to the left or right to see what everybody else is getting. See, your timing and God's timing and other people's timing is different. You focus on what God needs you to focus on, taking those things off of your heart, replacing them with the fruit of the Spirit, being able to look and see in the hearts of the people what God is seeing, having compassion on them, and you won't have to worry about everybody else. Your timing will be God's timing, and you won't miss nothing. You won't miss nothing. In this tapestry of life, every piece has to be laid a certain way at a certain time. And it is laid a certain way and a certain time when it's time for your peace to come. If you will but loose yourself into His care, repent, take all the other things out of your heart and begin to walk in the things of God, the gate will open and you'll be ready. You got the best jockey in town. The Holy Ghost. Wait for Him. He ain't going to miss a bit. You feel that nudge and you say, oh, that's the Holy Ghost. Let me know who you are. Some of us are thoroughbreds that can make it all around. Some of us are sprinters, you know. And then some of us are like them with them horses, would they be just like moving around and the people, be, you know, the Holy Ghost be on and you just jump over that little thing. You know, God just showing you off. He done fixed you up. Bought you out the ghetto, set your hat. Woo! See, he got the nose. You got to know the time and the season of God. Know who you are. Know what time and season you are. Sometimes in the season, you get enough stuff out your heart, you just be a thoroughbred. You just be running. Whoa. Casting down devils. Whooping up everything in sight. And then all of a sudden, He puts you out over in the meadow. And you be like, what's wrong? What did I do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. It's time to rest. It's time to rest. See, I believe that Joshua and Caleb, when they said they was, 80, 100 years old, and they said, God, I still want my mountain. That even though they put the swords to the side, I believe every day, you know, after they got through plowing the mule, watching over the land, they go by behind the house, pull out their sword and practice, you know, keep the muscles going. And I believe that's what God does for us sometimes. He pulls you out of the battle because you need to rest. You need to rest. It is to me foolish to think that you can carry on at 60 like you did at 25. I don't think that's what they were doing when that said that. I think instead of running 12 laps, they ran 6, but they were teaching the others how to run 12. If you always running, how are you going to have time to teach? You got to know the timings and the seasons of your life. And you can only know that when you are still enough and quiet enough in your spirit and confident enough to know who you are in Christ, because He's already peeled you like an onion. And you're just sitting there stinking up everything. You're just stinking up everything. Just be still. No sense in stinking up the whole garden. Just stink up the onion patch where you are. He'll be through with you pretty soon. It don't really take that long. You know why it takes so long is because You keep moving around. You keep just stop moving around. If you just stop moving around, it's like every time you see the potter coming, oh, you know you're finna go on the wheel. You know you're going to go on the wheel two or three times before death in order for God to get you where he wants. And you know that when you get off the wheel, where he's going to put you? In the fiery furnace. You're gone. It's going to happen to you a few times before Jesus comes. You know that. So why do we always get to jumping and a bucking? Just jump up on the wheel and say, hey, Dad, it's my time again. Okay. Okay, God. Okay. He know you don't like it. You know you don't like it, but you might as well just sit there. Why are you jumping all over everything? What is the purpose of that? It's just going to take him longer. It'll take him longer to get out of you what he needs to get out of you so that you can be fine and polished and people can say, oh, look what the Lord has done in their life. Girl, what did God do for you? You look wonderful. Well, yes, praise God. He had me at the Y three times a week. Because some things ain't all demonic. Sometimes it's you getting up off your flesh and going to the Y if you don't like what you see in the mirror. When you take your clothes off, go to the Y and exercise. You know, water aerobics does a lot for me. I'm in water aerobics. They be doing everything. I get there early. I'm doing water aerobics. Shaka-da-da-da-da. You know, you be pushing against that water, right? So that water be strengthening your legs. So I'm getting ready. Shaka-da-da-da. I be wearing my sword. I be doing like this. See, y'all laughing. But you got to find these things in life to keep you going. Water aerobics is good. By the time I learned spiritual warfare, I'm shaping myself up. I'm going to be looking pretty good next camp meeting. That's right. But while I'm in that water, I'm going to be wheeling my sword. And I'm going to be praying in tongues, trying to find out if anybody in my class need to hear the word of the Lord. Yeah. I like to dance before the Lord. You ever thought about when you're in that water and that water be pushing against you? And if you just go, bless the Lord, oh my soul. How graceful that'll make you. Oh, you try it. Y'all laughing at me, but try it. Watch next time y'all come to camp. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is with me. Praise his holy name. Is not God good? He has sent Jesus, and Jesus is not still on the cross. Thank God he is alive and well, living inside of our hearts, and it is my prayer that he is on the throne of your heart and nobody else. And if he is not, if you didn't push him aside a little bit, this is a good weekend to get him back in the place that he belongs. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads for just a moment. Father God, I thank you for these, your people, and I thank you for the word that you have given us. Father, I decrease now, and I pray that your people have received this word and it will go down deep and it will be an understanding word that they can walk in, that they can live by, that will bring a smile to their face and a piece of encouragement, Father God, even in the house today as they continue to receive deliverance. Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus and thank you that the overshadowing spirit of the Holy Ghost would overshadow each one right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that everything that is not like you, everything that is not like you, God, would be revealed to them even right now. Show them, Father, what the idols are, what sits on the throne of their heart that they have been too fearful, too honorary, and unknowledgeable, ignorant, sins of omission and commission, that would not allow them to see what it is that they need to get rid of so they can walk in the way that you have called them to be. Father, we give you the praise and the glory and all of the honor. And we thank you, God. We thank you for Jesus, who is our deliverer. Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, even now. And begin to walk in the hearts of your people. Begin to walk through this place, God, dethroning everything that is not like you. Father, you've told us that if we ask it in the name of Jesus, which every knee must bow, and we ask it believing Now, right now, we bound, bind doubt and unbelief now in the name of Jesus. And we believe you, God. We believe you, God. We believe that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for our sins. That you sent Jesus that we might be healed. That you sent the Holy Spirit, who is the rhythm of life, on the inside of us. God, we praise you. God, we give you glory. God, we give you all of the honor, for there is none like you, O Lord. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that the angels stand linked in this room. We open the doorway for every demon that wants to go right now. You can go. But if you do not go, we are about to attack and destroy and overtake. We stand in our place in the second heavenlies. And because the word of God says, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And we believe that word. So right now, in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, we take authority over every spirit of idolatry, every spirit of fear, fear of man, fear of success, fear of failure, fear of authority. We bind and break your power now in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit of arrested development in Jesus' name. We bind and break you now in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ. We come against every spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness in Jesus' name. Father, we break all the cords of control off of every person right now in the name of Jesus from ungodly authority. In the name of Jesus, we break and bind every ungodly soul tie in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we apply the blood at the very root of hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise and glory and all of the honor. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we break all the curses of arrested development and all of the power that any traumatic events that would have had in their childhood. We break all the legal holds that the enemy has used to arrest them in any area of their emotions, physically and mentally, and in their finances in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits to leave them now in the name of Jesus. Those spirits that cause them to think, function, and to react as a child in any given situation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we all choose, say amen, to mature mentally, physically, and emotionally. We choose to lay aside all childish things. We rebuke and bind childish self-wills that sits at the gateway of our maturity. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we ask forgiveness for the idolatry that we've carried in our heart toward the toys that we have placed on the heart of our throne. We ask you, Lord, to help us to give them up and to show us what they are. Father, we also accept the real life situations that you send to mature us and ask us for the grace to grow and mature. In Jesus' name we pray. God, we thank you. We bind and break all mind-binding, mind-blocking, mind-hindering spirits to deliverance this weekend. We bind doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit of pride, of hidden pride in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bind all the spirits of doubt and unbelief. Go, unwrap and uncoil and untangle and come away from the spirit of mind control. Mind control. Go. Mind control, go. False belief systems, go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Doubt and unbelief, go. Doubt and unbelief, go. In the name of Jesus. Doubt and unbelief, fear, rejection. Rejection go. Rejection unwrap and uncoil and untangle off the emotions of the people. pull out of the spirit of deep hurt. Unwrap. We cut you off from deep hurt, deep wounded hurt, that kind of hurt that happens behind closed doors that you never speak of. We come against you now in the name of Jesus. That deep hurt that was put upon us by fathers who were not in their place and in their position. We break and bind that off us now. We call come against those little girl spirits, those little boy spirits, those spirits of arrested development. We bind and break that off of you now in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against the spirits of Ahab and Jezebel playing mommy and daddy in the name of Jesus. And we lose the spirit of maturity in the name of Jesus. We bind and break that off of your family line all the way back to Adam and Eve on both sides of the family. Rando roboshi karana yesse korama yiri yonsende. Brosha tanana mayi karanaba. We come against nervous stomach, nervous breakdown in the name of Jesus. We bind and break that now in the name of Jesus. For the word of God said that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but that of love, power, and a sound mind in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against those spirits that attack the saints of God at night, not allowing them to sleep. Nighttime fears, forbidden sleep, insomnia, overtired, reoccurring dreams, restless nights, pressure sleep, tormented dreams, overprotected. Parental correction, planned disobedience, perseverance, procrastination, that quitter spirit. We bind and break you now. Move out now. Come out of the hearts of the people now. Come out of their will, their mind, and their emotions now in the name of Jesus. We come against the rebellion and the parental rejection and the rejection from workers and employers and pastors and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and uncles. That rejection that caused so deep into their hearts. We bind and break you now in the name of Jesus, and we loose the healing balm of Gilead right now in those areas where you have received deliverance in the name of Jesus, so that that gate is closed in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We come against grief and suicide right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of suicide go. Suicide. Suicide physically, suicide mentally, suicide emotionally. In the name of Jesus, manifest and go. Loose the people now in the name of Jesus. Go, go in Jesus' name. All the way out in Jesus' name. Rando rebo sheke na rebo shatana na yere rebo shatana na ye kerediata. Ro shena na ma yere diasa tana na ye korbo shatana na ya. Ro shatana na ma yere dio se tana na ma yere rebo se. Oh, ramasika yara na ma yar shatana. Emotions in the heart. Emotions that are not lined up with the word of God. Manifest yourself and go. Too emotional. Always crying, either crying, either happy or either sad. Manifest yourself and go. We decree that the people of God will line up with the word of God, and there's a balance in their emotions right now in the name of Jesus. A balance in their emotions in the name of Jesus. Come on out of their hidden rebellion in the name of Jesus. Move. Keep moving in the name of Jesus. All the way out. Hidden rebellion. We come against that unstable adult spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Manifest and go. Unstable adult, unable to make wise decisions based on godly advice, unable to take advice from godly people in your life, willing to be disobedient, always wanting to have your way. I want my way. Spirit of the spoiled child, manifest and go. Get out in Jesus' name. We come against those spirits of hatred and anger and miscommunication in the name of Jesus. Miscommunication, lack of communication in the name of Jesus. False feelings in the name of Jesus. Spirits of jealousy and insecurity, manifest yourself and go. Like children, manifest yourself and go. Unafraid to accept someone else because your jealousy, you're afraid if they get too far ahead of you, afraid of the pecking order that may change. We bind and break that thing now in the name of Jesus Christ. Ha rose kanada robo satana nama iko. Nandirio satana nama. Croce nanama yise ke yarobo satana na. Lese korobo satana na. Bronde masa kandirio sete. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ando robo satana nama ye korama site. Roche nanama yiririose. Croce nanama yiriri androse tanama. God, we come against spirits of insecurity that birth bondage. Bondage, insecurity that births bondage. We come against that thing right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against the insecurities that affect us and cause us to make decisions out of our own fear. We bind and break that now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Father God, that the people of God have received deliverance, Father God, deliverance last night, deliverance this afternoon, deliverance this morning. And Father, we praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Please lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord and begin to thank him for the deliverance that he has brought in your life. Father, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you that the blood covers us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, continuing to drive out anything that is not like you, O Lord. We give you praise. Father, we bind and break any spirit that is left right now in the name of Jesus. We come against backlash and retaliation right now in the name of Jesus that would be against us, that would be against any of the ministers that have ministered here thus far. We come against it now. We come against that spirit of backlash against family, friends, and loved ones. Father, we thank you for a spirit of boldness that as we have received our deliverance, that we'll not be afraid, that we'll just step out of the boat and walk in that that you have poured out upon us right now in the name of Jesus. God, we praise you. God, we give you glory. God, we give you all of the honor. And we thank you for this day, God. We thank you and praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for angels, Father God, that will continue to minister to us through the campground. And that we will get all that you have for us before we leave, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I dismiss you, dinner is going to be served in a little bit. I want to read something to you. A friend of mine sent this to me, and I think it just about says something that I believe that will help you. It says, "The devil made me do it." People have a wide variety of ideas about the devil, Satan, Old Scratch, Beelzebub, the Prince of Darkness. For some, Satan is a personification of dark tendencies and evil deeds rather than an actual person. For others, he is the red-suited guy with horns, tail, and pitchfork who is more comic than sinister. Then there are people like the New Testament writer Paul who says Satan is not only personal but smart, able to disguise himself as an angel of light to worm his way into our confidence. Now, while the writer says I'm no expert on the devil, who would want that distinction? I'm convinced his best work is subtle, indirect, and masked in respectability. Who could be suckered by a horns and pitchfork adversary? But if he could just get you to project an image of decency while living at odds with that public profile, you could be very religious in terms of church attendance, but deeply unspiritual as a racist or sexist in the way you see and treat people. You might be a dynamic, outgoing, and respected leader in the larger community, yet unloving, detached, or even abusive at home. You can teach and counsel others with solid biblical wisdom and then justify yourself for not having to live by it personally. You might quote scripture, lots of it, with chapter and verse accuracy, but be oblivious to your bad temper or harsh judgmental spirit. You could be a quick volunteer and appear cooperative with people in your church, but complain and criticize the whole time in following through. Healing for our emotional and spiritual lives begins when we get honest about our inconsistencies. When we quit making excuses or blaming others, when we are courageous enough to admit how frazzled the basic connections of life have become, relationships with self, God, and people who care about us.
Comedian Flip Wilson made a fortune by saying the devil made me do it. And I, for one, the writer says, don't deny that Satan can capture and enslave people so as to get them in horribly bad fixes. But what we won't accept is that he wreaks his havoc independently of our wills. That he moves in and takes over without permission. So let's not give the devil no permission. Let's back him down because we have the power and the right to do so because Jesus died on the cross and gave us that power and gave us that right. Let's remember James 4:7. What does it say? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And then he will flee. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the food that has been cooked. We thank you for those that have prepared it and those that are going to serve it. We ask you to bless it and to sanctify it in Jesus' name. And then, God, we ask you to bless us that as we go and take a short time to rest and relax, that you will fill us with your Zoe energy, that we'll come back refreshed and ready and able to receive the word and to take it in like honey on our lips, because it is good and it is able to change us and to make us more like you. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.